Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Hello, I'm John Ramos, and joining me today in the studio is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. We want to welcome all of our VFN radio listeners from all across the country and the world. Pat, I'm excited. Today, we have so much to share, man, and so much to talk about. We're going to be talking about the Son of God movie trailer. Dude, you got to check this out. This is so, they did such a quality job on this, and I'm really excited for its release, but we're going to be sharing about Booker T. Washington in today's program. We'll talk a little bit about the Olympics, which is pretty interesting, about some of the things that are unfolding and some things that have unfolded in times past, as well as we didn't get a chance in previous programs to talk about the importance and the necessity that we're living in, the times that we're living in, that we need to know Jesus, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Not about him, not of him, not being familiar with who he is and some Bible stories, but we need to know him, and he needs to know us. But I know, Pat, that we're going to share this trailer, but I do want to give a special shout out to my son today because it is his 12th birthday. Isaiah, I know you're listening.
Happy birthday, Isaiah.
Happy birthday, my man. He woke up this morning and got a little surprise from me, and he's... He's going to have a good day today. He's going to have a really, really good day.
Yeah, I think he's going to have a visitor, too.
Oh, my goodness. He has quite a bit of visitors, yeah.
Oh, does he?
But he's looking forward to that visitor.
I know he is. Both of them are.
Oh, my goodness. To get ready to have a really good time. Well, you know, yesterday we spoke about, on a previous program, the storm that hit the South.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding is I'm seeing news reports, man, that 13 people have lost their lives.
Oh, wow.
And this storm that's hit the South, and now this winter storm is hitting the Northeast. Washington, D.C. is shut down. A lot of government offices and buildings are being closed today. And I just got word from Sophia. They are into feet of snow up there already in New Jersey.
How many?
Up to 3 inches actually are falling an hour.
Oh, okay.
And it's getting really, really bad up there. Yeah, there's a thing up there. They're ready for Florida. Listen, if you're in the Northeast today, if you're in New Jersey, New York, Washington, New England, listen, it's okay. You can come join us in Florida. You can come enjoy the Gulf Coast. Come on down. But you know, there is a code. At least I knew in New Jersey. I'm sure this is probably, you know, true for a lot of other big cities. But you know, when you oftentimes there's not a driveway that you can park your car in. So you park your car on the street, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Hopefully in close proximity to your house so you don't have to walk several blocks till you get home.
Mm-hmm.
So you take the time to shovel out your car because, you know, the plows come and they pushed all of the snow up against your car. So you have, like, sometimes the snow is as high as your window on your car. It's so high. Mm-hmm. So you dig your stuff out, and then when you leave, typically, people put like a chair or a box or something that indicates like, hey, that's my spot, okay? Well, unfortunately, what's happening in New Jersey, Sophia, there is a spot taker. They're removing your spot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry that I'm finding this humorous here, but they're taking her spot, and now she comes back home, and Tony, they don't have a spot anymore. Someone took their spot, they shoveled.
Oh, no.
Listen, that is dangerous business out there. If you're taking people's spots, listen, you don't want to do that because they shoveled, they labored hard for that. Oh, my goodness. Listen, we want to encourage you guys, stay warm, stay in the house, don't do any excess driving. I'm hearing from all my friends up north that they've closed many, many companies, but, you know, some folks still have to work in this. So, you know, we pray for their safety. But weather this thing, stay in the house and look for ways how you can check up on others and minister to them. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Can a student in a public school give a Bible to another student? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
In high school, if other vendors are setting up tables promoting certain things for kids, can you also set up a table to hand out Bibles? And the other question is, can a Christian child going to a high school hand out a Bible as a gift without any problem?
Those are both great questions, and Glenn, with regard to student-on-student distribution of religious literature, of giving away a Bible, they absolutely have the right to do that. The Supreme Court in 1969 said students do not shed the right to freedom of speech at the schoolhouse gate. That includes distributing religious literature or a Bible. I think the best way to do this is student-on-student distribution. The Bible Club may be having an outreach. I think that's the best way to approach it. With regard to the table setups, you'd have to argue that the school has established a limited public forum, which would allow for the distribution of religious literature by outside groups.
For more information about student rights, visit us on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Here we are, yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right, VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
And I'm telling you, if you missed any of our programs, we have four programs back-to-back. You want to make sure to catch them. Of course, you can always go to VFNTV.com, but don't forget, we have podcasts available for you. If you haven't signed up for the newsletter, oh my goodness, sign up. Go to VFNTV.com. In the right-hand corner, you can select newsletter sign up, and every single week, you're going to get the highlights of that week's program, and you're also going to get an opportunity to get every single program that was available, that was shared on that week's segment.
Wow.
So it's all contained in an email, and you can take it, you know, have VFN radio on my phone, and we'll go, you know, on your iPad. And I get so many reports of people telling me, hey, listen, I was just sitting with my iPad, it went to the newsletter, and it just, you know, click, 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 and I just heard one after the other, you know. It's a great way. So sign up for yourself, and also sign up a friend.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I am so excited because we are going to have the citizenship test, where John and Pat are going to find out if, in fact, they know the answers so they can stay in America. But can you imagine? Like, you know, I'm going to a different country. Which one? Not this one. That's all you really know, you know.
Yeah, right.
You're sitting in a cell with like 15 people and none of you speak the same language. Y'all know, hablo ese. Okay, so you're sitting here and you're fixing to be exported because you are not a citizen of America. Mm. Or you've come and you say you've got your visa or whatever and you're applying for citizenship. This is the test you have to take. You have to take this test. And if you pass this test, as part of the, you know, other things, you're able to become an American citizen. We're finding out that we couldn't pass the test.
That's right.
And we're learning. We're finding out. Oh my goodness! It's like the people that are protesting about, you're taking the Ten Commandments out. This is ungodly. I can't believe you would do this. They're praying against the people. Like, and you pull a mic up to faces. Like, okay, can you name the Ten Commandments? Well, no, but I know that it's good. They say, can you talk about the Constitution? And they go, the Constitution. Oh, no, the content, like what's in it, like what the Bill of Rights or anything. Oh, Bill of Rights, I heard about that somewhere. What's Bill? I don't know what his last name is, but I know he's like, you know, we know. It's like, we're doing the same thing with God and with the country. And it's like, we got to get our things right with God and understand that, oh, man, it's just powerful that all of our rights come from God. That's what we believe. That's our founding fathers, they believe, and we got to get back to that again. So you have a 100-question citizenship test, and we're asking them like five at a time. And John and Pat have been, you know, humble enough to say, could you please humiliate me before the whole world?
One more time.
I like that time when John goes, just give it up. Give up. And it's like, we don't know these things, do we? We don't know these things. It's not because, I found out why. I found out why. Let me get this.
That's
why. Does it really help out?
We want to know.
It's because you guys just don't know nothing. No. It's because by the time you're 20 years old, which for us was a long time ago, they say that you've already learned everything you can learn. Mm-hmm. And so to learn new things, you have to unlearn things you knew before. So it's like we knew this one time before we were 20, and it was like, oh, I had to unlearn that because I had to find out how to drive
my
car.
My hard drive was full.
Yeah, your hard drive was full. It's like, whoop, tilt.
I did this cleanup.
But you've already used all of your ability to remember by the time you're 20. It's like, listen, kids, don't waste your brain on video games. Don't use up all your, you have to unlearn all that to find out, like, how do I pay these bills? Is there a button for that?
Hard drive is crashing.
Yeah. And so that could be it. I don't know. But so here we are. But we're relearning again. We're replacing other thoughts, things that we had, which would be easy to do for me, not for you guys. And I've got room now to be able to take things in. I got lots of room to be able to take things in. If you get it right, while you're thinking, by the way, give you time to think about, I'll ask you the question. And if you're listening right now at home and in your car, at work, whatever, I'm going to give you time to think about the question. And then while you're thinking, of course, it's going to be, that's right. That means that's your thinking time. When you're ready to answer, let me know you're ready to answer. And it has to be your final answer. I mean, John likes to progress in answers. He also likes to steal. He's like, can I? No, actually, you started that, I think.
He started that bad habit, yeah.
That was so smooth. I think I remember that. He's like, I can't believe he didn't get that. And it's like, the one before that, he's like, I don't know nothing.
Who's this number again?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's your turn.
So then, of course, if you don't get it right, of course, we're going to... That's exactly right. That's what it's going to be like. But of course, if you get it right, everybody's going to applaud you. We got five simple questions. Here's the first question. The first question is going to go to John. John, we need to think hard. Think very, very hard about this. Because I know that Pat says you always get the easy ones.
Oh, he does.
He's even has his door on his side. He
it's just a built-in.
It was easy. You got easy questions.
This is like a built-in DNA thing. It's like the default setting. You know what I'm saying? They call that talking trash, I think, on the basketball court, right? Snap.
You got a whole bunch of that.
It's amazing. It's like I never really believed that trash wasn't true. I'm like, you're like, I can't believe you said that. It's like, no, this is trash. Like, I don't think that's a sin. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's like,
it's a sin.
Goodness. You don't think those bad thoughts about that person then? Okay, listen, 46, obviously number one for today. On the test, John, this is going to you. Obviously, this proves that you don't get the hard ones. I mean, you don't get the easy ones. Here's the question. Question for today for you, John, is what is the political party of the president now? What is the political party of the
Hey, come on.
Do you need more time? Is this your final answer?
I think I got this one.
Okay, here's the question. Let me get the question. The question is, Pat's going, man, he did get a difficult one. What is the political party? I tell you this, the glory's showing right now. If you missed the first hour, we're in crap pot tonight. What is the political party of President Obama, the now president?
Democratic Party.
Hey, that's so good. Now, you didn't Google that, did you? You didn't Google that or nothing, did you?
No, Pat was like, what is that?
I know.
Democratic Party, Pat.
He has a lot more respect now because he realizes that you get difficult questions, too.
Fair is fair.
Fair is fair. And so here goes the question to Pat. This is the question. I'm not picking the questions. The questions are on the – this is the 100 – he's looking like I'm drawing up the citizenship test for the United States of America.
Well, you're changing the order.
We're Christians.
Sure.
We're Christians. I like to give the hard ones to John and the easy ones to you. You're just so much more funnier when it's a difficult – he just has a big blank look across his head. He's like
– I'm seeing stars.
That means it ain't gonna happen. If he goes like this, it's over with. Totally over. Yeah, right. Like this, John is like up here and then down here and up here. Here's the question. This is the question. Take your time. The next question for today goes to Pat Hamilton. What is the name of the Speaker of House of Representatives? What is the name of the Speaker of the House of Representatives now? Well, that was quick. You guys are just moving right along.
Look at him.
He's saying the hard questions kind of come first in this test, didn't they? There's a lot of people probably left America like, there's no way I'll never get this. Like, you should have hung on. It's going to get easier.
Yeah, right.
So here's the question. This is the question for today. Final answer for you. Second one. What is the name of the Speaker of the House of Representatives?
John Boehner.
Hey! No Dill Boehner.
Plan B.
It's like, I know, Plan B. Well, I was just thinking about... We're not going to run versus, and they're like, come on. And,
not really.
Yeah, I know. No, they like me. They were just thinking, they like me. They're not against me. It's like, did he just really say they like me? Anyway, we're not, you know, we're for Jesus.
Yeah.
John, question number next. Mm-hmm. On the United States citizenship test done by the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services so that you can actually live where you're living legally and get a Social Security number, is there are four amendments. There are four amendments to the Constitution. It's like, uh-oh. Mm-hmm. There are four. This might be yours, Pat. I don't know.
No, it's John's.
There are four amendments to the Constitution about who can vote. Describe one of them. There's four amendments to the Constitution of the United States telling us about who can vote. Describe just one of them. All right, John, here's the question. The question on the U.S. citizenship test is, there are four amendments to the Constitution about who can vote. Describe one of them.
The right of women to vote.
Hey, very good.
Wow.
Very good. And think about it, that's actually the last one. You named the very last one to come on because there's four of them. Mm-hmm. Because the first one was 18 years old or older, I believe. Mm-hmm. And the next one was, another one is, you don't have to pay to vote. That'd be something. There's a poll tax. You had to pay money to, and they're trying to, you know. And the next one is any citizen can vote, woman or man. And the other fourth one is all male citizens of any race can vote. So women were the last ones in America to be given the right to vote. So we're learning things, right?
Wow. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Very interesting. That's called the suffrage movement and all mm-hmm. that was taking place. And so it's interesting. So somebody says, well, why is the Constitution important? That's a good reason why. There was a day somebody couldn't vote. Now everybody can vote. Let's just leave it like it is. Mm. So here we are. We are down to the question next. And I believe we're going to go to question number. We're on question four.
Four.
And this is going to you, John. What? No, I'm messing with you. Pat, this is going to. Pat didn't say nothing, did he? He's going to let it go. Maybe it'll slide.
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all, man. Here is the next question. On the U.S. citizenship test, what is one responsibility? What is one responsibility that is only for United States citizens? What is one responsibility that is only for United States citizens?
Alex, can you repeat the question?
It's all the easy ones.
Yes, yes. What is the political party of the... No, here it is. What is one responsibility, keyword? Responsibility. You have a responsibility. This is something you have to do as a citizen. What is one responsibility that is only for United States citizens? Oh, here we go. This is your final answer, right?
Yeah.
What is, here's the question, what is one responsibility that is only for United States citizens?
And that's probably wrong, but obey the law. I only gave one answer.
Okay. It is to serve on a jury and to vote in a federal election. It's a responsibility that many Americans don't even take that responsibility seriously. Okay. They don't even vote.
Well, I was thinking that you had to do it when you said responsibility.
Well, that would, yeah. Well, responsibility is that you need to.
You should.
Well, definitely. If you don't serve on jury duty, you can go to jail. You know, need is like, we need to actually, you don't vote, you know, because 33% of conservatives should have voted, but they say that they didn't vote and they don't vote and don't even know that they're not even registered to vote type of thing. And so we, as a responsibility, the people who take a test, they go, listen, I've got to get registered to vote and they call me for jury duty, I got to go. Mm-hmm. And people today is going like, how do I get out of jury duty? And it's like, do only the people who have intellect and wisdom, the ones that get out of jury duty, and the other ones serve on juries. Like, hello, I want you on my jury. I want smart people on my jury who are going to think intellectually and prayerfully about this decision going on. Mm-hmm. And you look over there at the group in the jury, like, oh no, these are the ones that couldn't get out. And it's like, it's a responsibility. Right. It's our responsibility. I mean, you'd be surprised. I mean, it's a great system. I mean, it's the best system in the world. But when you actually spend some time, I mean, it's amazing. You think, their fate, their future, everything about them, life in prison, 10 years, $20,000 fines, whatever, is going to be determined by these few people, $1 million fines, by these few people who, you know, and it's like, we got to take it more seriously. That's a responsibility for us to serve. It's a right. I mean, I think it's not a right. It's a responsibility. And so, I mean, take it as a privilege. You know, me coming from law enforcement, they don't like us to serve on jury duty still after all these years. And it's just exciting because you get to participate in the constitutional right of that citizen to stand in the gap for them where somebody's accusing them of something. Mm-hmm. And you get to hear, like King David would hear what was going on and he'd make a decision. Solomon would do that. Well, we do that. We get to hear, you know, and determine based on the law, is this person guilty or innocent? That's like huge. That's huge. So, I mean, I would encourage you, if you get called for jury duty, show up. You know, and if one of your workers get called for jury duty, don't punish them for being responsible citizens. And by showing up, find a way to fill in the gap why they're doing jury duty at your workplace, because you're saving the country that your business is in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you're complaining that the country's gone, but you complain because your employees are going to jury duty, he's like, come on, that's their responsibility and yours as well. And many business owners get out of jury duty because they have a business. But you think about that. So important. If you're the one being tried, wouldn't you want somebody to be there with you that was caring about, you know, justice and how things turn out? Because it used to be this way. Somebody just said you was guilty. There was no jury, and there was no constitution, you know, prior to ours in America. And they would just, you'd be gone.
That's right.
And today, they got to carry the evidence and present it to you in your jury, and they have to prove your guilt. They have to prove your guilt because of the Constitution and because of the amendments to the Constitution. And if they can't prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt, if it's criminal, then you are off. You're out of there. And they have to, it forces them not just to be an accuser, but they have to be a prover. They have to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that you did do that crime. And if they can't do it, then you as a juror would say not guilty.
Mm-hmm.
You would say not guilty. And that's what it needs to be, because the rule of law is based on, it's better to set two innocent men free than to send two guilty men free, than to send one innocent man to jail.
Mm-hmm.
And the mentality today is like, send them all to jail. It's like, dude, they're not all guilty. You know, somebody just wanted to find somebody to pin this on because everybody's so upset right now and everybody's focusing on this one person and that's where their emotions are going, but we don't know yet.
Mm.
I heard it on CNN. Have you listened to CNN over a period of time? If they were talking about you, you wouldn't believe it. And so here we are. Here's the last question. The last question on the U.S. citizenship test today goes to John. Goes to John. Here it is, John. Name one right only for United States citizen. Name one right, not responsibility, is what we talked about earlier. This is right. name one right only for United States citizens. All right, here we go. Here it is. The last question for today on the U.S. citizenship test is, John, name one right only for United States citizens.
Right to bear arms.
What?
What is his claw?
This is so important. This is like, what rights do we have?
Second Amendment.
Well, I mean, it's not a, it's, but, you know, if you're not mentally.
Take that button away from me. Right. Hold them down.
This is the
right to bear arms.
Well, it is a constitutional right if you're not a felon, if you are, but there are, you know, some things, but the test you have to take says these are the rights. Well, this is what's on the Constitution in regards to not the amendments but the Constitution. Is we have the right to we have a right that's only due us and not due anybody else, is the right to vote in a federal election or to run for federal office. Mm. Yeah, it's so important. So many people complain about how things are, but they don't realize, you know what? Why don't you get you a few campaign signs, get you some brochures, and go out and start shaking hands and show us how to do it better. And if not, if you're not going to do that, get behind those who will, who stand up for what's right in this country, and don't sit there and just watch them and complain. Listen, you have the right. You can run for office. I mean, if you can run for office, you can do it. That's one thing. If you are a citizen of the United States of America, you can run for office and you can vote if you're 18 years or older in the election coming up every single year, the federal elections every 4 years. Well, that is the end of the U.S. citizenship test.
AB Mobile Mechanics, fast, friendly, and fair. Everything from ACs to water pumps, on-site repair all over the Gulf Coast. Give them a call today. Cordova Lanes, the weather is changing. You want to do something indoors? Bring the family in Pensacola, right behind Cordova Mall. Visit Cordova Lanes, where nobody gets benched. Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai. Buying a car can be an overwhelming thing. I encourage you to visit Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai, where Glenn makes buying a car smooth and easy. Visit him today in Car City. You'll be glad you did. Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Go visit Tony Baker. Listen, doesn't matter if you're in good shape, bad shape, he'll get you in the right shape. All the training you can get for self-defense in Pensacola. Visit him today at Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
This is VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. Light meaning the light of the world, and not light like easy. We're doing that so that you can actually not be a part of that. Listening to VFN Radio may be your only light. Mm. It may be your only opportunity during a day that every news broadcast, every radio broadcast, every conversation is just dark. Mm-hmm. It's doubtful. It's this Hitler-like type conversations or mm-hmm. Aryan-type conversations or Iranian or Muslim-type conversations or political, which is type conversations. Or you could listen to VFN Radio. And you're able to hear what's taking place, but then you can hear what God's word says about it, and you can get a perspective, and you go, hey,
I can know things without being terrified. I can. Mm-hmm. God has prepared me during this day to have a peace in the midst of whatever's going on. There's going to be a great harvest. We're believing and praying that God would bring a third great awakening to America, and a great awakening changes the DNA of the nation. They said Hitler's goal was to de-Christianize the church, and they wanted to infiltrate it with political people. And what do we have today? We have people who are very politically connected and into some different political parties, and they like the whole scheme of the thing. And they're coming into the churches, and they're trying to de-Christianize it and make it more of a social justice movement. And that's what's taking place right now. Listen, I know this firsthand. And as a community organizer, I saw in my history, my past, that the church was being infiltrated by men and women who weren't Christians. Mm-hmm. And the church was just letting them come in to do social justice movements. You got to hear that. We have to understand this. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. VFN Radio gives you that knowledge and that wisdom and that light.
Welcome to the daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Hello, I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello, Pat. We want to welcome all of our VFN radio listeners all across the country and the world. We're excited to be here with you today and excited to be with you on this program. We have so much to cover and so many things we want to talk about. In our previous programs, we were alluding to the movie that's coming out February the 28th, Pat, just in a couple of days. It's called The Son of God. I'm going to have a clip for you to hear and listen, and of course we'll make that available for you on The Torch. But hopefully in today's program we're going to continue to talk about some of the things that are happening around the world, some God's news behind the news, and we're also going to be talking about the Olympics and what the Olympics in Russia, what could they possibly mean? I mean, mm-hmm. Sochi, right? I didn't even know where that place was before the Olympics. Now I'm.
I would have thought Japan by that name.
who would have known? But we're going to talk more about that, as well as Booker T. Washington. You know, we're right smack dab in the middle of Black History Month, and mm-hmm. it's our opportunity to recognize wonderful African Americans throughout history who've had an amazing impact on our nation. And we're going to be sharing some of those stories. It's going to be very, very exciting. But I want you to listen to the movie trailer from The Son of God. This movie is produced by the same producers, Mark Burnett and Roma Downey, who actually produced the Bible series. Mm-hmm. And that was a huge, huge success. I believe it was on the History Channel.
Right.
And it was watched by so many people. And my understanding is that they actually, while they were recording the Bible series, they actually recorded this movie, got the footage at the same time.
Oh, wow.
And now this is going to be released. A major a movie company is behind it. And I really want you to listen to this trailer, because so many people have so many wonderful things to say about this. I want you to listen up.
Do you need help?
There's nothing to help with.
What are you doing?
Going fishing.
I'm telling you, there's no fish out there.
How did this happen?
Come with me.
What are we gonna do?
Change the world. Your sins are forgiven, my son.
I thought only God could do that.
Which is easier, to say his sins are forgiven, or say he get up and walk?
I've had reports of a young prophet of Nazareth. It's rumored he works miracles.
They all do.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Pray to him, and he will listen.
5,000 came to see him. 5,000.
Your hunger for righteousness will be filled through me.
Who knows what Pilate will do if the crowds run out of control?
That man, Judas, he wants to help us.
I will crush any rebellion.
Save us from the Romans, Lord.
There is something unusual about him.
We must arrest this false prophet.
But what if he is who they say he is?
Won't somebody tell me?
Peter, come.
answer if you can.
One of you here will betray me to my enemies.
I want someone to tell me, what is the soul of a man?
Jesus of Nazareth, you are charged with blasphemy.
He has employed demons to heal.
He threatened to destroy the temple.
Tell us,
are you the Son of God? I am.
Blasphemer!
Son of God in theaters February the 28th. Was that not amazing?
Wow.
No, I mean, I've seen The Passion. I know you have too, Pat. We've discussed this. But it's amazing when you see just another movie about Jesus. And it's just remarkable how they were able just to capture some of these moments that the Bible, you know, talks about and shares about. But I encourage you, you know, go out and support these movies, especially a movie about Jesus. And it seems like it's done so nicely and so professionally, but it's just wonderful. I love when Peter looks at him and says, "Well, what are we going to do?" And he says, "We're going to change the world."
Oh, is that all?
Is that all?
And, anything else?
He was amazed just because he got some fish in a net. I mean, Jesus changed the world. He wants to change your world, and it's so interesting that the timing of all of this. It just so happens that of all things, Jesus Christ, Pat, is the number one in the top 10 most significant figures in human history, according to the new ranking based on Wikipedia. We didn't need Wikipedia to let us know that. But it's very interesting. I mean, he's just amazing, and I'm looking forward to seeing this movie. You know, also, Noah, there's a movie about Noah coming out March the 28th. And so it's really interesting to see all of these stories from the Bible and the accounts in the Bible really being put out on the big screen, if you will. Mm-hmm. And the trailer for Noah is absolutely amazing. In fact, we saw it during the Super Bowl.
Right.
And just amazing
graphics.
It's
gonna be awesome.
Looking forward to it. The Son of God, February the 28th. Totally, totally amazing. We know we are right smack dab in the middle of 2014 Winter Olympics in Sochi. And I haven't paid too much attention to these Olympics this year. Typically, you know, we'll get a chance to, in the summertime. I like the Summer Olympics if I can catch a couple things, but not too much into the Winter Olympics. But it's interesting how these Winter Olympics seem to have, there's a lot of issues. There was concern early on in the beginning about terrorist threats. In fact, there was an attack prior to the Olympics. This is a high security. My understanding is costing $50 billion to host these Olympics in Russia. And we want to remind you to pray for the safety of all people that are going to be that are there presently. Americans, I mean, there have been specific instructions that the government has given any American who's traveling over to Russia to see these games. I mean, they even tell them not even to wear certain clothing that identifies them as Americans once they leave, you know, the campus of where the Olympics is being held. But this is an opportunity. You know, you look at what does it mean for a country to host the Olympics? I mean, it's such a big deal that they sent President Obama to try to get them to see if they can host it in Chicago. And who does that? But it's a big deal for a city and a country to host it. I mean, there's a ton of money that comes into the area. But really, what does that mean in terms of how it's being used to showcase who their country is? And it's just interesting in a time where Russia is raising its head and it's taking such prominence in the world today, they just so happen to be hosting the Olympics. When I think about it, it reminds me of in years past, actually in 1936, when Germany... Mm-hmm. And Hitler hosted the Olympics. You think, really?
Right.
I had to look this up, and it was so interesting, but this is exactly what they used, one of the things that they used, and Goebbels, the guy who used to use all the film and make all this
documentaries.
Documentaries, but there's a word here with a P. Propaganda. There it is.
Oh, there you go. Big difference.
Big difference. Propaganda to basically paint, you know, Germans and in particular Nazis in a favorable light. Well, they did all these different things. I mean, they built this major coliseum. It's sat 110,000 people. They had a special area where just the Nazi party would sit. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing all the things that happened. But Hitler really wanted to use the Olympic as the Olympics in 1936 to show the supremacy of Germany. They think they had the most athletes involved in the Olympics at that time. And they wound up winning. I think they led in most medals.
Oh, really?
But this was the same Olympics that Jesse Owens. I mean, some of the things that were happening during that time is they were actually expelling. They wouldn't even let the Jews participate on any of the teams. They took them off. There was a lot of backlash going on in the country and really around the world. A lot of Jews actually protested from other countries. They didn't even participate in those Olympics. They didn't even want to be a part of them. Mm-hmm. And they sent an American delegation over to Germany to actually see, hey, what's kind of going on there? And like, you know, Hitler has done before, I believe it was with the Red Cross, they rolled out the red carpet. They took all the, you know, hate Jew signs off of their buildings. You know, they told them, hey, leave them alone while they're here. And they went back and said, hey, there's nothing wrong. We can get behind this. And it just goes to show you how things just kind of come around full circle and how these Olympic Games are still being used that way. I mean, it wasn't too long ago, I believe in 2008 Summer Olympics, when China used the Olympics to make a major statement. I mean, the opening ceremony, if you remember that, was outstanding, probably one of the best I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. They literally had an aerial shot over the city, I believe, and though it made it seem like there was a giant that was walking through the entire country. I mean, the lights, oh, it was like amazing thing to see. And it was China's way of saying, world, here we are.
Yeah.
How you like me now?
Right.
You know? And right now, it's being reported by ESPN that Russia is putting tremendous pressure on their hockey team. Now, if you know anything about their hockey team, and they had a serious, serious, serious legacy in terms of winning, in terms of how great their players were. Mm-hmm. But they had a bit of an issue. I mean, actually, they just had a press conference, and instead of normally just a few players and maybe a couple coaches coming out, the entire team showed up.
Oh, wow.
And their statement basically is like, you know, we're here to play. This is in our home country.
Mm-hmm.
And why this is particularly, you know, interesting is because I will believe it was back in 1980 when the United States team, and it was held in New York, mm-hmm. actually, it was a bunch of, I think it was college college guys.
Yeah.
And they actually beat the Russian team. They actually made a movie. I think Disney made a movie.
Yeah, they made a movie. It's very
they
good.
They made a movie mm-hmm. about it. But no one expected them to actually win. I mean,
they didn't give them a chance. I mean, because these Russians have been playing for years together.
Yeah.
I mean, they might as well have been professionals. I believe they were.
Yeah.
As far as Russia's concerned.
And it was a major, major, major upset. And the final score was like 4-3. I think they even called it Miracle on Ice, or somebody called it Miracle on Ice.
That's what the movie was called.
Oh, was that what the movie was called?
Yeah.
And it was just wild. It was just absolutely wild. So they were wanting to redeem this. But you look at what Vladimir Putin is trying to do, is trying to, you know, bring the country back on the world stage. And he himself, I mean, look at the things that have happened just in a short amount of time. You know, we went from President Obama having an off-mic conversation with Medvedev, and where he says, you know, I will, you know, he says to the president, I will transmit to Vladimir.
Right.
Like, and the president's like, give me some more time after the election. Give me some more time. And from there, if we realize that Vladimir Putin, president of Russia, is supporting, you know, the president of Assad in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, we later revelation, and as things develop, you know, all of a sudden Snowden is having access. You know, they open the doors to him in Russia. This is the guy who opened up all the NSA, and who knows how many secrets are being shared with Russia right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there's the little thing called the Forbes magazine, who, you know, listed Vladimir Putin as the, you know, most powerful man in the world, not the president of the United States.
Right.
And then there was this little small thing, like, you know, a couple of spies that were busted here in America, you know, not too long ago, a couple of years ago. Fact, they actually lived 15 minutes from my house in a city called in Montclair, New Jersey.
Oh, wow.
And it is said that the reason why those spies were here, but apparently they had infiltrated some really high-level people in the government,
mm-hmm.
and it got too close, and so they just wound up exposing them and sending them away, and, you know, and just exposing them, hey, okay, we know who you are type of thing,
mm-hmm.
but they were getting that close. They had been tracking them, and they got so close to this person who didn't even know that these people were spies.
Wow.
And so, listen, you know, we need to pay attention. We need to pay attention, you know. The bear is rising, you know, and it's time for us to kind of see what is happening and how we can pray and see how this all unfolds. It's not over. It's really just kind of beginning again. Things come kind of full circle, and I really believe that we're going to see in the coming years a lot of these biblical prophecies coming to pass. It's so important that we stay alert, that we stay prayerful, something that we talk about often because it really is important. It's so easy today to fall asleep and just get lulled away in entertainment or whatever's going on TV or whatever other things you're trying to put on your social calendar, but the church needs to be one that's aware, that's awake, that's watchful, and that's praying, because listen, we know how the story is going to end. I mean, Israel's going to survive, Israel's going to remain, but there's a lot of things that we don't know, and if we can stay dependent and close to the Lord, God will reveal and show us each and everything, and he'll give us strategy, he'll give us wisdom. And we will work with him if we pray as he releases and shows us all the different things that are about to happen, all the different things that are about to come on the face of this earth. But very, very interesting. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We just want to kind of hear what's coming from our heart there, because, mm-hmm. you know, I really believe God's calling people that really want to be a part in this day of being the answer, not complaining about darkness,
yes.
not screaming at darkness, but about being the light. Let's just join in just for a quick little moment there at the VFN Dream Center.
I'll never forget when I was in law enforcement, I was chasing the suspect through the woods, the dark woods, but I had my flashlight. And I'm running, trying to collect my $3.75 an hour, chasing Bundy in the woods. My frontal lobe wasn't developed yet then. I used to think, what was I doing? The last thing I did was something like that. Anyway, so anyway, I'm chasing this guy in the woods. I was so confident because I had this big, bright flashlight. You know, he's running, I'm running. You know, he's dropping all the bank bags and money. I don't know what he was doing. Anyway, he's running, and it's just me and him in the woods, and my help is coming, but they're a long ways off. And it's hard to tell where you are in the woods. Like, where are you at? I'm in the woods, man. I'm in the woods. Can you hear me breathing? and we're way deep. We're way deep. But I got this confidence because I got this light. Right? I knew where I was because I had light. I knew where I was. But all of a sudden, I'm running all confident stuff. And I'm chasing this. You know, I was in better shape then. And I'm chasing him. I'm in a shape now, but different shape. And all of a sudden, my confidence dropped. You know why? My flashlight went out. I'm deep in the woods with a high criminal and have no light. And I was running through these woods. It wasn't dark to me. It was light because I had a flashlight. I'm like, oh, yeah. Woo! Yeah. I got you. I couldn't see nothing. I couldn't see a thing. I mean, I was just like had, right? So I put my back against this big, huge oak tree, and I'm like, I'll be on my flashlight. And I'm thinking, I don't know where this guy is. He could be right here, right now. I'm like beating on my light. And then they said, We're putting the dogs in the woods. We're putting the dogs in the woods. I'm like, oh my goodness. And so I'm looking at all this darkness. I'm trying to find light. And I found like a beam of light on the outside of the woods. And I'm booking it because dogs, there's no name. They'll come after you. And so I'm running, trying to get out of the woods, thinking I'm going to get eaten alive, tripping over stuff because I don't have no, right? I don't have no light. And we finally, the dog has a tendency to find people quickly, right? Here I am, right here, help me, I'm right here, please don't let him bite me. Anyway, and so, long story short, the suspect and I are in my cruiser. I'm changing the batteries on my light, and he wanted to ride in the back for some reason. And I'm talking to him, I said, listen, I said, I was chasing you. And I always believe in treating people. I mean, you're already going to jail. Just be nice. Sure goes a lot further than salt. He was already in the back seat, you know. Anyway, so we're talking. I said, when my light went out, when I was chasing you, I said, and my back was against a tree, big oak tree, and I'm feeding on my light. I said, where were you? He says, I was on the other side of that oak tree.
That's so important because Jesus said, your word is a lamp. The word of God says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, which means the word of God is a light that tells us where we're at.
Yeah.
And it's a light that tells us where we're going, a vision for our life. Mm-hmm. Although that was having a little fun with it. But the reality is a lot of people are running through life with a flashlight
mm-hmm.
because they've made a decision to follow Jesus, but they did not get in the word. As a matter of fact, 81%, according to George Barner, don't even get into the word. So I just want to encourage you. It's time to get into the light. Maybe the dream's for you. If you're in the Gulf Coast region, come join the dream at the VFN Dream Center. You can find out more at VineFellowshipNetwork.org or join one of our virtual members from around the world. Just go to VineFellowshipNetwork.org and you can join the dream.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat. And we were talking about Sochi Olympics. If you missed that segment, you want to make sure to catch it. Be insightful. You'll maybe learn something interesting that you did not know before. But, you know, this is Black History Month. It's the month of February, and we'd love to be able to highlight some of the wonderful accomplishments that some blacks and African Americans have done throughout the years. And we've shared some time before about George Washington Carver, which I thought this guy was amazing. You know, he is quoted as saying that he asked God to reveal to him the secrets of the universe. However, God just, you know, started with something small and gave him all the secrets of the peanut. And he wound up producing like hundreds of inventions that are still used today. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the stuff that he spent time in prayer and God just revealed and showed him. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting because we're going to be talking today about Booker T. Washington. And the connection between those two guys is that Booker T. Washington actually started Tuskegee University. And he brought on George Washington Carver as an instructor. And it was pretty interesting. Wow. Yeah, he taught there at school. But I want you to listen to this segment from CBN and enjoy, because you're going to learn some really interesting insights about a really awesome man.
Tuskegee University is known as one of the nation's most outstanding institutions of higher learning. It was founded in 1881 by a former slave, a man who went on to become the most influential American educator of his time. That man was Booker T. Washington. He was born on April 5th, 1856, in the hills of Virginia. His family was so poor that he had to work in salt mines by the time he was 9.
One of the things that Washington learned early in life is that if he was going to become anybody at any time, that he was going to have to overcome a lot of obstacles.
Always an intelligent child, Washington yearned for an education. So at 16, his parents allowed him to quit work to go to school. Determined, he walked 200 miles to attend a school called Hampton Institute in Hampton, Virginia.
He walked and rode, caught rides, all the way from Malden, West Virginia to Hampton, with a couple of days layover in Richmond.
Upon graduating from Hampton in 1875, Washington embraced the idea of economic independence for blacks through self-help, hard work, and a practical education. In his book, Up from Slavery, Washington wrote, "During the whole of the Reconstruction period, our people throughout the South looked to the federal government for everything, very much as a child looks to its mother. This was not unnatural. The central government gave them freedom, and the whole nation had been enriched for more than two centuries by the labor of the Negro." But Washington went on to say that the government had failed to assure the opportunity for education that would prepare former slaves for the full benefits of their freedom. So providing that became the driving force of his life, a vision that led him to start Tuskegee Normal and Industrial Institute, a trade school for blacks in Alabama.
He had determined in his mind that he would open the school. On July the 4th of 1881, he declared, of course, the school to be open. He wanted it to be Independence Day for blacks.
The school's beginnings were humble. Classes were held in a run-down church in Shanty. As the presiding principal, Washington outlined several objectives for the new school. He urged students to return to the plantation districts and show the people there how to put new energy and new ideas into farming. He also insisted on high moral character for both students and faculty.
There is no doubt that his faith in God played a particularly motivating role for him to do what he did, for him to develop the character that he did at a time when people were being denied their humanity, says a lot about his perseverance.
Just as Dr. Washington did, we open faculty meetings with prayer.
Christian faith was something Washington learned as a child in Sunday school, and it helped shape his ideals and character that just wouldn't give up. As head of Tuskegee, Washington tirelessly traveled the country, raising funds from both blacks and whites. He soon became a well-known public speaker. His famous Atlanta Compromise speech explained his major thesis, that blacks could secure their constitutional rights through their own economic and moral advancement, rather than through legal and political changes. His conciliatory stand angered some blacks like W.E.B. Du Bois, but many sympathetic whites approved of his views and helped him in his cause.
He was able to appeal to the philanthropists and the politicians. Did have close relationships with people like William McKinley, President McKinley, Theodore Roosevelt, and Taft, was good. Washington was a Republican and had really, in fact, been able to get a lot of support from the Republican presidents and people who were Republicans who supported black advancement.
But perhaps Washington's greatest accomplishment is summed up in the inscription found on this monument, erected in his honor at the center of Tuskegee's campus. It reads, "He lifted the veil of ignorance from his people and pointed the way to progress through education and industry." Charlene Israel, CBN News.
The $50 Eye Guy, where they have everything from wrecks to specs. If you want to visit them today, they're right across from Home Depot in Pensacola. Visit a $50 Eye Guy today so you can see. For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. Just Fish and Grits. If you're in the mood for some good southern cooking, visit Just Fish and Grits today to dine in or to take out. You can have your meal on the go. It is good. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.